Somebody ought to praise him. Hallelujah. It has been said, now Lois or someone may, I don't know how I can prove this, Lois, but it's said that last verse wasn't in the original song. Tina's nodding her head at me, so I think I'm right. You said, where did they find that last verse? They found that in a wall and in the same salad. I want you to know something. They wasn't crazy in there. Somebody say amen. That was wonderful. It's good to be here tonight. It's been a busy week. We've had a lot going on. I do want you to continue to pray for all the sick. I want you to pray for Sister Johnny there, Winkler. Her and Bill have been such a blessing already. They haven't been a member long, but they've been a blessing. But Johnny lost her hero, her daddy, went home to be with the Lord this week, yesterday, I believe. And I want you to pray for the family of Lee Morse. Lee's been a preacher in this valley as long as I have, and probably longer. And I just want you to pray. The viewing will be, I believe, Friday evening at 6 to 8 there at the Chapman Funeral Home right across the road here. And the funeral at 2 o'clock at the Chapman Funeral Home. And be much in prayer. And if there's anything this preacher can do for you, you just let me know. I'll take care of it. I will. All right, you got your Bibles. Turn to 2 Kings chapter number 6. I want to go through this part of Scripture tonight. A familiar story, but I want to revisit it. I want to talk about it tonight. Now, I'm your preacher, okay? And I want you, if you leave here tonight, I want you to understand one thing. I believe you do. I love you. I do. I love you. I care for you. But there's something your preacher is seeing in Christendom tonight. And I have even seen it in this church. And I'm not going to be critical. I'm not being critical. I'm just... I even have seen it in myself, and I don't want it. I fight this. I ask God to help me to retain something. I'm going to preach on tonight, and I hope it speaks to you. You know, I don't know if we're going to have a revival in this country. I don't know. We could. But I don't know if we'll have a corporate revival or not. I really don't know. The way church is going, the way everything's going, it doesn't look bright for it. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic. This country's in trouble. And our churches are in trouble. Amen. And we may not be able to, and I don't know, I have a corporate revival. I don't know. I hope we can. But I'll tell you what I know we can have is an individual move of God in our life. And I do believe that this local Baptist church that you're a member of could have a revival here if all of us individually have a revival in our life. Amen? Amen? Now I want you to, I'm going to deal with a subject tonight. I hope you're tuning in. And you that are on live stream, thank you for being here. Will you please share this? This is an important message I'll be preaching tonight. And I want to deal with it. Look at 2 Kings 6. I'll read a little story from the life of Elisha. You know who Elisha was? He was the protege of Elijah. He spent 10 years, listen to this, of his life doing nothing but serving Elijah. Didn't preach a sermon, didn't perform a miracle, just served that man of God. I want you to know something, that speaks to me. If you ever want to be a good leader, you've got to first be a good follower. Amen? And Elisha was a great follower. But when it came his time, and Elijah was going to depart in a whirlwind, and Elijah saw his faithfulness, he said, "You just ask me what you want. Come on, help me now." And he said, "I'll tell you what I want. I want a double portion of thy spirit." And you may not know what that means, so I'll tell you. And this is one of them. Elijah performed 7 miracles. And you know what Elijah said? "I don't want to do 7. I don't want to do 8. I don't want to do 9. I don't want to do 10. I don't want to do 11. I don't want to do 12. I don't want to do 13. I want to do double what you done." And by the way, the same, you know what? It wouldn't hurt some of us to have some ambition and want God to take over in our life and use us to our fullest. And I think what happens is we limit God too much. God's still on the throne. So in the midst of all them 14 miracles, I'm going to read you one that is timely. And I think it'll help you tonight. But by way of introduction, before I read, have you ever thought and have you ever acknowledged it's a battle to keep the cutting edge, to stay sharp, to stay on it? Somebody help me preach. I mean, come on now. I'm talking about an everyday consistent life and keeping a cutting edge and being relevant all the time. It's a battle. And how many of you agree with me? It's real easy to lose the cutting edge. They may be members in here tonight. You're not out in deep sin. You're not committing fornication. You're not drinking. You're not on dope. You ain't doing nothing like that. But let me ask you something. Are you retaining your cutting edge? Or have you got dull? Are you? Somebody help me. It's just, you're saved, you're glad to come to church this morning or this evening, but you sense that really your spirituality isn't quite the way it ought to be because you kind of have lost your cutting edge. Maybe it's in your life, in your prayer life. You're just not praying, and the power of God's not in your prayer life. You don't. It seems like heaven's brass. Maybe it's in your enthusiasm, and it seems like you've lost a step of enthusiasm. Once you were so on fire for God, but now you kind of cooled down. Am I preaching?
Yes, sir.
Maybe I shouldn't jump so quick into this. Let me read the verses. Will you read them with me? Look at them with me. "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us," or too small. "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place therein where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came down to Jordan, they cut down the wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, A lost master, for it is borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick." Listen to this, oh, but dear God. and he cast it in thither. Woo! And the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and he took it. What a great passage. Amen. Some of y'all looked at me and you said, well, did that really happen? Do you mean that they went down to Jordan and was going to build them a prophet's house, a meeting place, and one of them was cutting wood, and the axe head went off and went into the water? And then Elisha came and he got a stick and they threw it in the water, and the I start doing a breaststroke, and well, hallelujah. I want you to know that Bible passage is real. Amen. Amen. He said, what's the axe head a type of? The cutting edge. What's the axe head a picture of? The power of God. What's the axe head typifying? The power of the Holy Ghost. Now let's deal with this. I just got a few minutes. Let's talk about number one. The problem simplified. Now, Lois, let's simplify it. He said, a lost master, it is lost. You know what bothers me and what concerns me? That a lot of us have lost our cutting edge and we don't know it.
Amen. Oh my. Lord help us.
Amen. The one thing about him, he knew it when it was gone. But I'll tell you what's happening in religion today and Christian today. We've got so used to going by the motions, and we've got used to religion as a norm, and we're little robots and little, you know, we know how it's done and when the certain song's going to be sang and when a certain reading's going to be done. But ladies and gentlemen, it probably scare a lot of us to death. The Holy Ghost never got a hold of us, really. Why can't we all tonight just take a look? Is it there or is it not? Do we have the cutting edge or are we dull? Do we have God's power or is it absent? Are we fresh or have we caused some circumstance has happened? Hey, I want to tell you what I've seen. Now, come on, you help me. And shame on us. We've let this pandemic take our mind off of God. We're worried more about what CNN says and the TV says and what they say about it. And you know, they're scaring everybody to death every day. And the percentage rate of somebody dying of COVID is very, very low. But they've got you convinced you may die any moment. And you know what we've done? We've let that news, we've let this stupid election take the cutting edge away from us. And we're looking at the circumstances of the day. We're looking at our problem, and our problem, we've allowed it to take our cutting edge away, and we've lost our power and lost our effectiveness. Somebody help me preach. And you know what it is? We have learned to go through the motions so much, we don't even know when we lose it. I want you to know, I got a lot of problems in life, but there's one of them I don't have. When it's gone, I know it. You know what your preacher has been doing? And I've been spending time. I've tried to fast. You said, why are you fasting? I've tried to pray more. You know why, Lois? I have sensed the devil attacking me, and that there's every once in a while I sense myself getting just a little lethargic. And I want you to know what I do. I get on my knees immediately. and deal with it. Amen.
Amen.
But see, if I don't realize it, hey, I want all y'all to know, I know when the power's not on me. I know when the unction of function's not on me. And when I get like that, Drew, I get on my knees and I say, God, I need that. I want you to know, I believe every one of you, this is a good crowd, by the way, on Wednesday night. I believe every one of you love God. I believe you're good people. You're here on Wednesday night. I believe you're faithful. But I want you to know, you can come to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and let circumstances hit you and get your eyes off a Savior and lose your cutting edge. Number two. Now, I want you to notice this. Boy, I'm trying to hurry. Not only the problem simplified, it was lost. Verse 5, the problem clarified. Not only was it lost, but in the last phrase it says, for it was borrowed. I wish your preacher could get this across to you. You are not your own. How many know that? You're bought with a price. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And everything we got has been lent to us by God for us to do something great for Him. It was borrowed. I want to ask you a question. Come on now. How many's ever borrowed something from somebody? Raise them up. I want to see your hand. Now I want to ask you something. How many's ever messed up something you borrowed? You ever done it?
Yeah. Amen, brother.
It'd be real good for me not to borrow anything from somebody, because what happens when I borrow something, I usually break it. I usually mess it up. And then I feel real guilty. Yeah. What are you smiling at? You know, I see you behind that mask. I've probably borrowed something off of you and messed it up. But don't remind me, I forgot. I mean, aren't you like that? You feel so guilty? I'll tell you something that ought to bring us down to our knees. Everything we have, God gave to us. It's all borrowed. You know, God sent His Son, you read all that passage, to die for us and shed His blood for us and give us eternal life and indwell us with His Holy Ghost and gave us everything we have. But we then let it get dull. And we lose our cutting edge. And all of it was given by Him. He's the master. Somebody help me. That's clarified. Everything you got's from God. You say, well, I made my way. You didn't. Hey, listen to me. If it wasn't for God giving you breath in your lungs and a mind to work, you wouldn't be able to do anything outside of what God gave you.
Amen.
Am I preaching? Let me continue. Y'all all with me? The problem simplified. It's lost. Let's clarify the problem a little further. Let's look at it. It was borrowed. It's not mine. We have this treasure in earthly vessels, but it's not ours. He gave it to us.
Amen.
Then number three, in verse 6. Y'all just look at the Bible. I'm just going through the scriptures. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Number three, notice this, the problem identified. Now, would you look at me? If you've lost your cutting edge, and I want you to ask yourself, are you sharp like I always have been? Are you as close to God as you always been? If not, where was it you lost it? Was it when somebody done something ugly to you? Was it when somebody or some circumstance happened to you in your life that's out of your control. And by the way, there's a lot of things happening in our lives out of our control. Come on now. You know, Elisha said, where'd you do that? By the way, you ain't going to get it back if you can't go back to where you lost it.
Amen. That's good.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
I'll tell you what's happened. We've got so out of touch. We don't even know where we lost it. Was it when you had a conflict? Where'd you lose it? Was it when something happened in your life that you started questioning God about? Where was it? Is that good preaching? See, here's the problem. If we're going to get it back, we got to know where we lost it. Oh, I think I know. It's where I blew my temper up. My God just went off like a cheap watch. I remember now, since I'm thinking about it, I do remember going off like a cheap watch. Oh, I remember I fell into temptation and I yielded. I'm starting to remember now. Amen. I remember somebody said something bad to me and it affected me and I haven't got over it yet. Pastor, I was in a church situation years ago, and somebody hurt me in church, and you ain't got over it yet, and you've let it affect how you look at everything. Somebody done something to you that's made you bitter and angry. You got to go back to where you got that anger and that bitterness and said, that's where it was right there. I remember the day now after I started thinking about it. See, we get so out of touch. We get so far. And we get loose our edge. But ladies and gentlemen, God still wants us to be champions for him. How many believe that? God wants us to do great things for him. Somebody say amen. And we cannot be effective if we're not sharp.
Right, amen.
Yep. Amen.
Good. In what I do, I can't speak for what you do. There's always conflict. There's always a satanic attack here or there. And if y'all don't know there's a satanic attack on the Church of the Living God right now, you're blind.
Yes, sir. Come on now.
Number six, or verse six, number four. Let's go over this lost real quick. The problem simplified, it's lost. The problem clarified, it's borrowed. The problem identified, right there's where it happened. But hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to get your cutting edge back? The problem nullified. The young man was willing to trust the supernatural power of God for the recovery of his cutting edge. And you know what Elijah done? Poor Elisha done? He said, he cut a stick and he told him where it was and he threw the stick in the water and the iron come out doing a breaststroke. Whoa! How many of y'all, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all, come on now, if that happened to you, you would say, hot dog, whoopee, hallelujah. Would you be thrilled? How many have been thrilled? You'd have been thrilled. Listen to me, son. I've been jumping around doing jumping jacks. I'd have been thrilled. He nullified the problem by the supernatural. And I'll tell you what all of us need. We need a supernatural touch from Almighty God. And we need to see miracles again. And we can if we'll submit ourselves and believe we can.
Amen.
Why aren't we seeing more of that here in our lives? Because we don't believe the supernatural. I still got a God can. Amen. See, you want it back? You want that sharpness back? Do you want that cutting edge back? Do you want to be like this? Let me ask you if you're like this. That when God speaks to you, you know immediately it's Him speaking. And it doesn't take you a long time to figure out it's God. You know a lot of people right now, God's trying to speak to them. And you know why they're not getting the message? Because they're dull. And because they don't have the cutting edge. And they're not sharp. Help me preach. I'll tell you what your preacher wants. I want to see the supernatural. See, I really believe that no matter what happens in 5 or 6 days, this election may not go my way. I'll be honest with you, it may not go my way. I've told them boys, we've been talking about this week, and everybody in my staff thinks it's going one way. And I told them, no, it's going this way. And they all said, you're wrong. And I hope they're right. But I don't know. But I do know this. If I got the cutting edge, it don't matter who's in the White House. Amen. As long as I know who's on the throne. It may not go my way. I mean, I'm wanting all red, man. I want a red presidency, a red Senate, and a red House. But it may be all blue. I don't know, but I want you to know. I don't know how it's going, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. I've met him. Amen. And what I'm just trying to prepare myself for something. Them boys think I'm trying to prepare myself. See, I won't be depressed next Wednesday one way or another. They will be. Because I've already prepared myself. But listen to me. Ain't none of that matters. What really matters is, am I where God can use me? And can I rise above any circumstance? Now, lastly, and I'm done. Look at verse 7. How many got your Bibles? Look here. I'm done. We got the problem simplified. It was lost. The problem clarified. It was borrowed. The problem identified where it was. The problem nullified, a supernatural act of God. And then the problem rectified. Look at verse 7. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put it out his hand and he took it. Now look at me. I know I'm not supposed to come down here, but I'm going to anyway. You want it? A miracle is right there. All you got to do is reach out and get it. Amen. Take it in your hand. Right. Somebody help me. Amen. You know what our problem is? God is right there, ready to rectify our problem. And we won't take him up on it. Because we want to get to the place where I really don't have a problem. Somebody help me preach. You want God's remedy? Just take it up. Just believe him. Just trust him. He's a supernatural God. Hey, just go back to where you lost it and take it up.
Amen.
Bow your head with me. I'm finished. How many tonight, just stay with me. How many tonight would say, preacher, I know I'm saved. Preacher, I don't have no open sin in my life. I'm not out acting like a heathen. But preacher, for whatever reason, I don't sense the power of God in my life the way he has been in the past. And I don't sense me having my cutting edge like I had before. And folks are already coming and praying. How many slip up your hand and say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I've lost my cutting edge. Not quite as sharp as I was. I see the hands. I see them. God bless you. There's folks coming and praying. Survey your seat. Stand up with me. If you just want to come and pray, I want to talk to God about this. You don't worry a lot. You probably know where you lost it. Folks are still coming. You come, Father. Thank you for the little passage of scripture tonight. Thank you for the liberty I had in preaching it. Now, work in all of our hearts. You've already worked in my heart in this area. I thank you, Lord. You reminded me of how much I need you. And God touched tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.